Hey everyone, and welcome back to the Adopting and Fostering Home Podcast. Wherever you are on your fostering or adopting journey, we're here to provide the resources and tools you need. And I think today's guest will be a great source of encouragement to you. I was in Phoenix a while back visiting some of our church plants, and while I was there, a beautiful keychain was placed in my hand with a child's name on it. It was the name of a child who was in the local foster care system. The acrylic keychain was made by two moms, Tia Harwood and Terry Raines, and these two friends had both served as foster parents and had been working in their local church, but they wanted to do something more, something creative to continue to raise awareness for every single soul in their foster care system, so that those children would know that they are seen and that they are prayed for. I know you'll be blessed and encouraged by Tia and Terry today as they share about their new business called Creation Awaits and how this cottage industry, literally at their kitchen table, is being used to personalize the children in their state's foster system. And so let me introduce you today and say welcome to Terry and Tia. Thank you, girls, for being with me today.
Yeah, thank you so much for having us today. Yeah, thanks, Lynette. We're happy to be here.
Well, Terry, let's start with you. And I know you're the children's ministry director at Grace Point Church, and I know you've been in foster care for a while. So you're not only asking people to step in something that you haven't done, but you did it then, right?
Yeah.
Then the Lord's just begin continue to expand this. So tell us about what you're doing now and you know, what it involves, you know, just your background of foster care, how the Lord led you guys on this journey.
Yeah, thanks. I would say I've probably served in kids ministry for more than 10 years from different churches. Being able to serve in that way, I know it makes such a big impact. And our heart and passion was to help kids, help parents raise kids who love Jesus. And so being able to participate in that is something that's really near and dear to our hearts. Obviously, being a mom as well, I want my kids to know Jesus and want to know the Lord and follow down that path. And any hope we can provide in that way is what we want to do. My husband and I actually were attending one of our very first churches, small church plant. And we went to an informational meeting from DCS, our Department of Child Services, had an actual informational class. They were reaching out to churches because they realized these people love Jesus and they have compassion, and maybe they would open their homes or consider opening their homes to foster kids. Arizona is in a very high crisis right now. And at that time, I mean, it was only 10,000 kids in foster care. And now we're looking at more than 14,000 kids in foster care. So the heart there was to try and make a connection with churches so that they could give these opportunities to these folks who would maybe open their homes. My husband and I attended the informational meeting. We were there. It took another 2 years before our hearts were ready. And really, we were down a path. We realized we couldn't have any more children after we had our first. And we wanted to foster and hopefully foster to adopt. That was the plan initially. But we knew in the end, we could provide a safe home for a child to sleep in that night. I was moved by the stories of caseworkers and DCS personnel that had kids sleeping on their floors and sleeping underneath their desks. And I said, that's not okay. These kids need a safe place to lay their head at night. And some place that will tell them that they are loved, that they're known, and tell them about Jesus, if I can. So my husband and I prayed about it. We started down that path of fostering. It was probably some of the hardest things we've ever done is go through that process. And in the end, we never did end up fostering to adopt. We just went down that foster path, and it's been about a year or more since our last placement. God is continually using that to shape us and to help us connect with these families and foster families.
Yeah. Yeah. It's so hard to, you know, once you hear it, you can't unhear, right?
Yeah.
The struggles that children are facing. And I always think about this, I don't know why, but towards the weekend, you know, what are, when yeah. they're home from school, you know, they go to school and that can be a safe place for them. Or at least a place where they don't have to, you know, they can just kind of get their mind off what's going on at home. And I always think about come Friday night and all what kids are facing mm-hmm. and what they're, you know, thinking about what they're facing here in my community. And when you hear the stories, you just can't unhear them.
Yeah.
But especially when, you know, they don't get a break from it through the weekend. So is this the weekend they're removed or, you know, what are they facing this weekend? Or are they going to be able to go back to their school on Monday? And so, Terry, I agree with you that just hearing those stories, you realize the Lord has called the church to be the safe spot. Well, Tia, I know your story is similar. You guys yeah. have stepped into foster care as well. Just tell us a little bit about your journey.
Sure. So we felt God just pulling on our hearts to care for kids in homes that weren't safe. Just in general, we didn't know what that meant or what that looked like. We just know how much we loved our kids and how much God must love us, you know, because of how much we love them. And he loves us so much more. And we just thought, man, of all those kids, you know, either in broken homes or abusive homes or whatever it may be, we knew we wanted to do something. So we also attended a informational meeting, not the same one, but actually a different one. And we just kept praying about it. And we thought, what does this look like in our home with our kids? We have three kids in our home already. So what would that look like? And I remember just telling my husband and friends of ours, man, I wish a baby would just show up on our doorstep. Like, that's what I wanted. I wish someone would just drop off a kid at our door. And I know, like, now thinking about that, I hope that never truly happens, right? That there's safer ways to go about that. And I remember a friend tell me, be careful what you wish for, because that might happen. And I just remember praying, like, God, if we're supposed to do this, show it to us. And actually, the very first week of quarantine, I got a phone call saying, hey, can you come pick up this 2-year-old boy? We can't do this anymore. Can you come and get him? And I just wow. like my heart sank, like, holy moly, this is
yep.
what we prayed for. God, like, mm-hmm. okay, you're doing this. This is it. So we went and picked him up. And then so because we kind of knew the situation, it was considered like a kinship
oh, gotcha.
Situation. So we weren't even licensed yet. We weren't any of that. So then we went about getting licensed and all that after he was already in our care. Because then we thought, now what do we do? How do we navigate this? So we went ahead and got licensed and and went through that process and just asking other people who are foster parents, what do we do now? What do hearings look like? What do, you know, what do all these steps look like? But really it was all God for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you ask him to do it that way. So.
Right. And I think the crazy thing is in the beginning, like, I know my husband and I, we were like, yeah, we're totally ready. We can do it. We know it will be challenging, but until it happens, you don't really mm-hmm. grasp, right? How much you really need to rely on the Lord, even though you think you already do, right? It's even more, there's even more out of your control, even more unknown, even more hurt, even more all of that. But the Lord is greater than all of that. Mm-hmm. And you just have to make sure that you are going to him with all of that. And that's the only way that you can get through it successfully.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Just, and I agree before we, and this is not really why we started our conversation, you know, just really not what all the podcast is about, but I was reading in Joshua today and how the Israelites around chapter 7 or 8 paid a huge price because they made one small decision without mm-hmm. seeking the Lord first. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, it costs them a major casualties in battle. I don't want to be like that. You know, well, I know you guys were working. Did you become friends during this foster care? I think that's when your hearts really bonded together as friends, is when you both got into foster care.
Even before that, we mm-hmm. were actually in kids ministry together.
Oh, okay.
Attending the same church, and we really got connected through that. And then we just happened to be in foster care around the same time.
Yeah.
Which just grew us even closer. It's like our our paths just keep crossing, which we love so much.
Yeah. You both are artsy. You told me that you love to craft. And so tell us about Creation Awaits and how that came about and how it's going.
Yeah. So it originally started when the little guy that was placed with us was being reunified with his mom and dad. And because we have three other kids in our home, we just knew we would need a short period of grief at times, and healing and just decision-making on what does our next step look like? Are we going to open the bed again right away? You know, what do we need to do? So I spent about a week and just thought over all the things that he loved while he was in our home. And one of those things was his name. Anytime he saw his name on anything, he just knew that that was his and he can take it with him wherever he goes. And I just thought, man, I wonder how the other kids in foster care deal with that. Or when they get into a home, they probably don't have a lot of things that are theirs. You know, I think a lot of times it's stuff that's handed down or borrowed or that sort of thing. And Lynette, I know you, you have a real soft spot for that too. So I just reached out to the agency that licensed us. And I just said, hey, do you think, kids that are, under your agency would like keychains with their name on it that they can attach to backpacks or whatever? And they responded right away and said, yeah, I think that would be really great. And I said, awesome, let's do it. And then they sent me a list of almost 300 names.
Oh,
and
wow.
I went, oh wow. Okay. Yeah. Okay. This is great. I want to do this. I want to do this, you know? And then, just talking with friends and with Terry, I said, hey, do you want to do this with me? Like, I know you have a heart and you're in a period of waiting right now. Do you want to do this together? Like, is this something you want to do? And she was like, totally. And I said, well, what if it's not like a business per se, like a small business, but we just do this for the foster kids because that's what we want to do. And she was all in, and I'm so thankful for that. So that's kind of how it got started.
Now you're talking about a keychain. You're using literally your Cricut machine in your home. Is that right?
Yeah. So I know, I usually do it like on our dining room table. So like even the kids will help out at times and they know exactly what we're doing. And as we make them, we pray over the name, like, God, put these kids in a safe home. God, use the adults in their lives, you know, all of that. And then I remember Terry and I were talking one day and we thought, wouldn't it be so cool if we saw these keychains when we were out and about in the community, like to know that these kids know their name.
Yeah.
That they are seen, they are loved. Yeah.
So when we were in Phoenix and visiting our church plants and got to be there, and someone put these keychains in my hand, and we were there to visit our church plants, right? And you guys are doing an incredible job. It was just such a blessing to be with you all. But when we were doing our vision tour that day, and someone put my keychains in my hand, and I saw little Eli and James's name on my keychains. And then Kevin got some, and then my phone started blowing up with staff that was there with us, like, Lynette, oh my goodness, we're in tears. But just to see their name, right? That's such a game changer because it really kind of puts flesh on it.
Yeah.
And I can't imagine. So you started with doing the 300, but I know it didn't stop there.
Yeah, no. So Tia reached out to me and I said, hey, I worked with an agency. I got licensed through an agency too. Maybe I'll reach out to them and ask them. I think from that one, we had another 100 or so names. And then we were just like, okay, this is what we're going to do.
Yeah.
We were all of a sudden God was opening doors to like group homes. Hey, I have 20 names of foster kids. And we start reaching out to all of these agencies and saying, hey, we want to do this for you. It is our passion that these kids know that someone knows their name and someone has prayed for them and that there's hope. And so if we can do that by giving you free keychains, is what we want to do. It's been a little hard to break into that. But the goal that Tia had set last year was just those first 200 names. Our 250 names. In the end, I think when we closed out last year, there were almost, I know it was over about 600-ish names.
Wow.
And then this year we set a goal for 1,000 keychains to give away, and we're already at 400.
Yeah.
So we know that the Lord is using this to bless those kiddos and using us. If this business, what we ended up doing is we end up selling products, personalized products for small businesses and giving them the opportunity to get in on this joy, right? Mm-hmm. Give them an easy way to be a part of what we're doing. So whether it's like a gym, it's a small church that wants to sell some ornaments or give away gifts, we're partnering with them and giving them an opportunity to give back and to connect to these foster kiddos. And then in turn, support their foster families at their church, or any way we can build these connections is what we're trying to do. So God's using this and using us. And even though we started on a small, you know, craft that we wanted to do that helped us process through our grief, mm-hmm. He's using this to make a big impact. And we're just along for the ride.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. You know, and I know when, you know, we talked earlier, I think people think, okay, I'm going to jump in and do this. It's going to be a success overnight. And I was telling you guys when I jumped into Restoring Dignity, I wanted every child who came in the foster system in the state of Georgia to get a duffel bag with brand new clothing, like nothing used, brand new clothing, maybe a gift card, toiletries, that sort of thing. And I'm still working at it every week, right? You just keep working at it. And I think that first year we did like 50 bags, and then now I'm up to more than one a day, right? Wow. But it takes a while to get there. Like, look at your numbers, how they, you know, how they've grown. And so if we can give that encouragement, when the Lord lays something on your heart, this takes a while to get momentum, and it takes a while to get it going, because it's through relationships that you get the word out.
Yeah. I think the other important thing, something that we learned through leadership at the church, is to set those goals, right? I mean, I think that's a life thing. Like, people should do that in life in general. But for sure, we learned that in ministry. Like, you have to have goals. You have to have a vision. You have to have, you know, like, be clear-minded on what it is that you want to do. So I remember telling my husband, hey, we're going to set this goal. If we don't meet it, then we know that this isn't a thing. But if we meet it, then we'll keep doing it. And we'll set another goal next year and see what happens. And when that goal was exceeded, I remember even saying, like, so wait, is this the real thing? And it's like, yeah, it is. You know, but there were several months that were really discouraging on, like,
there are, yep.
You know, no one's getting back to us. But we just have to be the initiator, like, from the numbers, right? So it is good to track numbers. From the numbers, we can see that it is a thing. It is something that kids need. It is something that kids love. And not just base it all on emotion, right? On, well, the last couple of months were kind of hard. No one's getting back to us, but just constantly initiating that. Yeah. Because everybody in this life, especially in DCS and in foster care, they're so overwhelmed with trying to get these kids into a safe place that if they don't respond to our email or our phone call, we can't be offended by that. Yeah. You know, we just have to keep initiating and advocating, just as you would if you were a foster parent, right? Mm-hmm. Advocating for that child. So that's what we've done.
Tia, that's a great point, because we can get discouraged. Like, we've got some, you know, a couple of months, things are dormant. Like, we're not coming back. That's, and we can think, oh, well, they don't, you know, they don't care about this. That's not the issue at all. They're just overwhelmed. A friend of mine is a social worker. She has 86 cases. That's 86 files. The last time I checked with her, and one file could be two or three kids.
Right.
You know, they don't have time to think about a duffel bag, you know, so I'm always trying to get the resources to them and trying to just keep them encouraged in what they're doing. It's not glamorous at all,
right?
You know, but boy, it's so, just to know, Lord, you know where this is going, and you know the soul of that child. And man, it's just an honor to just be able to do a little grunt work and help them along the way.
Yeah.
Well, I know something else that's really on your heart. So if you want more information though about the keychains, go to creationawaits.org. And if you want to buy some products or something, you can do that. And then the keychains, you'll help fund the keychains. That's right. That's how that works. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. So tell us too. I know you guys have really been thinking about the same thing I have here called the New Baby Ministry. And when we were talking the other day, I'm like, oh my goodness, kindred hearts here. Tell us about that and give us some ideas on how to get that going or what that's going to look like for you guys.
So the New Baby Ministry, Terry and I have both been a part of that in our churches. And I think it really, I don't want to say kind of looks like a pay it forward type thing, but really it sparks moms and other people in the community to really look at, okay, who is bringing a new baby into their home, right? Whether it's biological or adopted or foster or whatever, and how can we actively love on them? Mm-hmm. I know something that's said in our church a lot is love is sacrifice. So what is it that we can do to love on families in our community that just had a baby, right? Mm-hmm. Because a lot of times emotionally with the families, it can be hard. It doesn't matter how many kids you already have. If you didn't have any and now you have one or whatever it looks like, it's an adjustment. It's a new season of life. So whether that's meals or baskets or diapers or, and it's not just a one-time drop-off gift, right? It's like, let's connect. Hey, do you want to go get coffee? Can I bring coffee to you? How's it going? How's sleeping going? Just things like that. One more step than, hey, congratulations. Let us know if you need anything type of thing.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I know Phoenix is such a, it's such a transient area. Like, I mean, I've noticed when I'm there, people aren't from there.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And so it's hard to, like my heart's really burdened right now for families who are trying to keep it together so that their children are not removed from their home. Right.
Yep. Yes.
And so when, and at Atlanta in the area we live in is so transient. And so if you lose your support system, I think this, you know, that it's detrimental that you keep people that can help you. If mom has to go out and get a job or, you know, if she needs backup, you know, the family needs backup. And I just think this is a great idea.
I think it's important too for churches to really start considering this, you know, like this is a whole nother way to reach those moms and to reach really even foster families. Maybe it's not a new baby ministry, but you just decided to start down that foster path. And maybe you need someone to lean on or to ask questions or someone just come sit in the thick of it with you or, you know, come bring you some soup or help you wash your dishes or something. But that community aspect is what the church is for. And that is really to be the hands and feet of Jesus. That is what it is get in it with them and be there with them, not just, you know, let me know if you need anything. It's no, I'm here with you. I'm going through this with you. This is what Jesus would do if he was here right now. And he is with us this whole time. So loving these families well and empowering churches to start real small, a gift card to a new family or, you know, like a new baby, that sort of thing. Or, hey, you know, how can we serve you best? Let's have a parents' night out. Bring your kids here. It'll be free. Go on a date. Spend some time with your spouse, that sort of thing.
Yeah, I think that's a great idea. Just anything we can do, because we know that the enemy is about tearing apart families and anything that we can do to support families and keep families together. And I've shared this on the podcast before, but a dear friend of ours that's on our church staff, they were doing like Thanksgiving boxes to families. And they went to a home of a family that had just come to the U.S. It was a mom with four or five little children. She was trying to work and he realized that if the tires on her car blew out where she couldn't get to her job, that was going to make or break her family staying together.
Yeah.
And he immediately met that need, didn't tell anybody, just went and did it. And he found out about it because he was going to their door, welcoming them to the community, taking them a box of just staples, right?
Yeah.
And which makes everyone feel welcomed. And it was done on a Saturday, on a serve Saturday through our church. But just that set of tires enabled her to keep providing for her family. We would have missed that had we not been engaged in our community on those Serve days together and going to the door and saying, welcome, can we check in? These were not families already within our church, like you said.
Yeah, I think even something simple that I do that always doesn't pan out like I hope it does, but every week, Sunday afternoon, I ask the kids, you know, hey, this week, what do you guys want for dinner, right? Just like normal meal planning with the kids. But also I put a reminder on my phone, what family are we going to serve this week?
Wow.
So that could be, so all I have to do is maybe add a couple ingredients, right, to whatever meal that I may be making that week, or picking up snacks or some muffins or something. But we really want to talk about and think about who in our community could benefit from this. Like, do we know families that are sick this week, or, you know, whatever it may be. It's just, I know it's something super small. It doesn't always happen every week. I don't want to act like it does. but you know, it's just one little step, like, and it helps also keep my kids aware of, listening to their friends at school about what's going on. Like, hey, you know, my friend's mom just had surgery. Maybe she needs, you know, she needs something this week or something like that. Just something to keep our eyes open and our ears open for them.
Man, I agree. There's when our daughter entered a new public school up here by us, new public high school, she began to see needs.
Yeah.
I mean, like incredible needs that families had, a lot of single moms. And, you know, one thing Kevin and I said, we want to show our daughter that we care about the needs she brings home, right?
Yeah.
And so we were, we wouldn't know if she didn't tell us, but she just, by making friends, began to realize, man, this family's hanging on by a thread. How can we help? Mainly grocery store cards is what families need. And so just continuing to engage our community, because this mom, one that our daughter told us about, she was about to lose custody of her son and her daughter because she couldn't care for them. And it was just over groceries and things like that. Defects had already been in the home, but she was a good mom and she just needed some support. Well, this has been, you know, I don't even know if we've talked about all of this on the podcast before in 5 years, just engaging our community and being aware of the needs around us.
So we just really want to encourage people to honestly just keep your eyes and ears open, like be on the lookout on how you can serve. It doesn't always have to be through an agency or an organization. Yeah. I mean, yes, absolutely. If you want to do that, do that. But it can even be small, right? Like just love your neighbor.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. That's just great. And, you know, having your, when your children come home with a need and they hear things, that was such a great word, Tia, when they hear needs going on around them, let's as a family try to meet those, but keeping that on the radar in the forefront of our children's minds, like who can we help this week?
Yeah.
You know, I noticed when I speak at little, when I speak, I just did a couple of weeks ago, at like moms groups, Bible study groups in churches in our area, they're always like, how can I help you? How can I get involved?
My
kids are in school now. I have Wednesday mornings, you know?
Right.
And I hear that so often.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, and it can even just start as like, hey, here's a list of first names. Can you pray for these kids? You know, and then God can use that, right? And spark other things, you know, from that. But I think just starting with prayer, right? Just start praying for those kids, whoever or whatever is on your heart, just start praying about it and then see where the Lord leads you. Yeah.
Tara and Tia, I'm just so grateful for your time today. And as we're closing out our conversation, are there any, you have any suggestions to like maybe some friends who want to start raising awareness about the names of foster kids in their own community? Like you've already done it. And so maybe some things you've learned about doing it or how we could jumpstart a ministry like this. Maybe it's cups with their names on it or the keychains, whatever it is. Do you have any pointers for us before we close?
Yeah, I think one of the most important things that as you get these names and connect with these families, let them know that this is all for them. Let them know that this, it can be done privately. We only needed a first name. Right. We don't need last names. But giving them the opportunity to let them know that this can be private. And we know that this, there's shame attached to this sometimes and all of that, but letting them know this can be done privately. I don't have to show it on Facebook that I've made so many, or here are all the names that were entailed with that. I think giving them the peace of mind, both for an agency and for a foster family, just letting them know this is just about love. Right. I love you, and I want to show you the love that Jesus has shown me. So this is where I'm starting. Right. Give them the vision up front of what you're trying to do, and let them tell you what their needs are.
Yeah, that's really good. Just do it behind the scenes too. We're not trying to draw attention to ourselves. We just want to serve others. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, everyone, thanks for joining Terry and Tia and myself today as we talked about Creation Awaits. We know May is Foster Care Awareness Month, and so this is one more idea to help raise awareness to the needs of foster kids and teens within our own community. Again, thanks for joining the podcast. This is a ministry of sinrelief.org.
I really appreciate you joining me today on the Adopting and Fostering Home podcast, which is a ministry of Sin Relief. If you enjoyed today's episode, share it with a friend, and you can find more information and subscribe at sinrelief.org. Thanks for listening and making us a part of your adoption and foster care journey.